Welcome to Classroom Attire Podcast. I'm Chris. Joel's on vacation, as we stated like last week, even though I forgot. I remember this week, so now we have, once again, our special guest, Neil. Say hello to the people, Neil.
Hi, people. Also, I'm surprised I'm still considered special.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you're here often, but you're not here every week like Charles.
Okay.
He doesn't say anything. Say hi to the people, Charles. Just full of charisma, that guy. So, just the fact that you're not here all the time,
yeah,
makes you special?
Well, I appreciate that.
I mean, I could be so mean. All right, let's just
I realize special,
Let's move on. You don't religiously watch wrestling, every bit of wrestling every week.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet I make you every single time you're on the podcast, or at least tell you what's the important stuff.
Uh huh.
But this week there's no like pay per view, because usually if it's like a pay per view, I'll be like, all right, make sure you watch the show associated with that pay per view that's coming up
or
something like that.
For sure.
We don't have that, and matter of fact, the one that we do have in, like, 2 weeks is for both shows.
Right.
So you didn't have a choice this time. You had to watch both.
Yeah, I watched Raw and SmackDown.
So, it's always a hot topic of which show is the better show. So, which one was easier? Let me it this way. Which show was easier for you to get through?
Yeah, okay. So, I heard you guys bumming on SmackDown last week.
Mm.
And so, you know, no matter what the deal is, SmackDown's still 2 hours.
Sure.
2 hours is ideal for a wrestling show.
Really?
I can pay attention to the whole thing. It feels like they get to the stuff that they need to get to move the storyline along, and they don't have to just desperately fill the way it still feels like for Raw. Like, after Raw, I'm just exhausted.
Right. Raw always feels like a chore.
Yeah.
And that's even, honestly, that's even after one of their good episodes.
Yeah.
It's just a lot to watch, a lot to sit through.
Because even on their good episodes, there's still stuff that's,
well, sure,
not relevant.
There's always going to be some stuff that misses. You know, like, you're not going to have a perfect 3 hours. That seems just almost impossible to have a perfect Raw for 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do it, too. It's impossible to do a show that's, you know, that hits on every single mark for an entire hour. Like, Game of Thrones is considered, like, the best show on television right now.
Yeah.
And they don't hit, like, hit everything 100% on a perfect episode.
Yeah. And it's actually surprising how good that comparison is to Game of Thrones, just mm-hmm. because it's so, like, there's
because
so many different storylines.
Right, because of all the dragons, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the American Dragon. I mean, come on.
Well, you mean American Dragon GM. All right, so I just want to point, because this is a thought I had when watching the main event for Raw this week, which was the Last Man Standing match between Roman and Strowman.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the easiest thing to do these days on the internet, on a podcast, when it's about wrestling, the easiest thing to do is just to crap all over Roman Reigns.
Oh, okay, right? Yeah.
And it gets to the point where I'm starting to feel bad about it, because it feels like such an easy trope to be like, you know, this is what's wrong with WWE, you know, like as a blanket statement or whatever, but always specifically funneling to Roman.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, like, I watch his matches, and they're not bad matches.
Yeah.
His main events are actually pretty well done. You know, are they perfect? God, no, obviously. But they're fun. They're entertaining. Yeah. Like, that giant spear towards the end of the match down the ramp looked really good.
Yeah.
The chair spot could have been goofy, the office chair.
Oh, right, yeah.
It could have been goofy, but they sold it like it was a car accident.
Yeah.
You know? And I was thinking that. It's like, you know what? What is, why, what do I have now in August 2017? what do I really have to complain about Roman that isn't really just, like, carryover from, like, previous complaints that we've had about him? And then he has a talking segment, and I'm like, oh, right. That's right. It's literally paid by the numbers.
At this point, he's surprised. I mean, not surprisingly, but he is similar to where Cena was if you took Cena's promo entertainment value.
Right.
So, like, you know, Cena put on consistent matches. His moveset was limited, true. But it was fine.
But as far as, like, fan reaction, it took Cena years to get that much of a negative reaction.
That's, you know, true.
For a long time, the kids were able to kind of drown out the adults.
Yeah.
You know? And it took, like, I don't know, like, the 5th or 15th feud with Randy Orton to finally get people to, you know...
Yeah, I mean, Cena has a different...
Everyone complained, obviously, but as far as, like, the live fans...
Yeah.
In order, for them to get loud enough to overpower...
Yeah.
You know, the pro fans, it took Cena some years to get to it, and I feel like Roman's been that way since the get-go, but then again, he is probably getting that, like that transitive heat.
Yeah.
Because they saw, the fans saw early the same signs that they'd seen
in Cena. It's a different history, and it was at a different time.
Sure. So it's one of those things where it's like, they were just, it's not so much that it's so different, or, like, the fans were just, or I'm not saying that Roman's just, like, far out worse than Cena was at that point in his career.
Yeah.
It's just the fans saw the signs way earlier.
Yeah, I mean,
and they immediately turned against it. Because
wiser now.
Because, again, like, I think I brought it up a few times, where I was, it was when the Shield was back together, and it was about, like, within the first year of the, or within that year of the Shield, you know, just running roughshod. And I was sitting here, and I did an article where I was, like, evaluating all three of them.
Yeah.
And I alluded to, I didn't even call him, but I alluded to Roman Reigns being the weak link. And I tell you what, I've never got a huge, like, response comment-wise.
Yeah, this is on The Rager, right?
On The Rager, on InsidePulse.com, which you can find the podcast as well.
Plug.
Man, they came out in droves to crucify me.
Really?
For alluding that Roman was the weak link. And I didn't even say he was a weak link, but I'm like, I was basically said if there was one, which I don't think there is, it would be him.
Yeah, I remember that rotating, like that slot of like who we thought was going to go the distance changed pretty regularly over the course of the run of the
Shield.
And
it's just weird to see where we've come since then.
Yeah.
And then you go to, what was it, 2014... the Royal Rumble, the one that Batista won, where Roman, actually, that was the one where he broke Kane's.
Was that the one that you called out of nowhere?
The week before, I called it. I called, Roman. I said Roman would break the record, and sure enough.
You know, stop clock, twice a day.
Right, whatever. but it's funny, like, the fans were 100% in on Roman on that night, and... Yeah. They actually were cheering for Roman to win against Batista when it came down. Because, once again, they saw the signs way early, so they immediately crapped on it, on top of Dan and Bryan not being there.
Yeah.
So then it became, we want whoever the backstage people wanted to win, we don't want that person to win at all.
Sure.
You know? But it's just so weird to see that, and then a year later, when Roman actually does win, everyone just craps all over it. It just, you know... But then again, they weren't, you know, pushing Roman to the moon back in 2014 and they're with the Shield or anything like that.
So, I remember CM Punk doing an interview. I'm pretty sure it was after he left. And he was kind of reflecting back on some of the things he saw. And he, even at the time, said, oh, I like these Shield guys. Dean Ambrose is great. I know him. Seth Rollins are... whatever his actual name is great. I love him. And Roman Reigns, he specifically mentions as, oh, well, he's more of a WWE standard kind of guy.
Well, okay.
But he's not bad either.
Well, to bring it back even further, the Shield was supposed to be more or less Punk's team.
Mm.
They even asked
him. Oh, that's right.
They asked him, and he cherry-picked Dean, Seth, and then it was supposed to be Chris, Cassie's Ohno slash Chris Hero, which is a Punk's one of Punk's good friends.
Yeah,
and it was The Office. They're like, okay, we're good with two of them, but we want to replace.
Yeah, and they gave him 2 out of 3.
Cassie's Ohno with Roman Reigns. So I don't even know yet. Had he? I don't know if he had been known as Roman Reigns at that point. He went by Liaki for a while. But either way, they just swapped it out, so it was kind of a compromise.
Yeah.
But from that point on, that you know, and that goes to the interview where he made after he left and everything. It was the Colt Cabana interview.
Yeah.
Where he had a match towards the end, where it was him versus all three members of the Shield. Mm. And he ended up winning, and Punk even said, like, I'll eat the pin, like, it's okay, you know, mm-hmm. It's 3-1, it just makes sense for them to win.
For sure.
And they're like, no, we want you to win, but just make sure Roman looks strong, like, and that's the joke that we always bring up, and I'm sure you've heard us.
Yeah.
That's what it's referencing.
Okay.
But, man, it's one of those things where it's like, again, it doesn't, there's definitely times where it doesn't feel fair to put all that heat on Roman because, you know, you book a guy to win, he's not going to tell you, no, that's not right, I don't want to win, you know?
Yeah.
Especially a young guy like that.
Well,
who's trying to build up his own clout.
Like, even when the Shield was going, I mean, Roman was my favorite member just because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, they're all good and, hey, I like this big guy and he kind of, you know, I'm a Kane fan, you know, I kind of like some of the bigger dudes, but, you know, I thought, like, I never had any problem. And, like, it was good when, you know, the Seth and Dean came in and kind of did the workaday stuff and they brought him in as sort of their closer. Mm-hmm. Like, he worked
there.
Yeah,
they were amazing. They were an amazing three-man tag.
Yeah, and it's, whenever I see Roman now, it's disappointment is what I feel. Disappointment and frustration.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that, you know, Obi-Wan looking at Anakin on Mustafar. Yeah. And he was like, what could have been? You were the chosen one, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It all comes back to, you know, a lot of people didn't feel like it was earned, quote unquote, whatever that means.
Right.
And it all goes back to the winter before, or the fall, I should say. Fall, winter before he won the Royal Rumble, because he was out with that, I think he had like an emergency appendectomy before SummerSlam, and he was out for like the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And then they did the Slammies, where they're giving out Superstar of the Year.
Yeah.
And they gave it to him for some weird reason. We're like, what?
He wasn't even here for half the year.
He wasn't here for half the year. Like, he just started as a singles wrestler.
Yeah.
He'd
only had, like, a couple of singles matches at all.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And so he was given that. We're like, what? And then at that point, it was really when it
started to get real clear.
And the fans, like, the fans turned on him that night.
Yeah.
He was just coming out with his weird middle-aged dad jeans with, like, weird, like, he's been teased about it before.
Yeah.
That's where it stems from, like, he's getting all this unearned, quote-unquote.
Right.
And so then he wins the Rumble, but then they, you know, fans obviously turn on him, or, you know, turn heavy against him, even with, you know, The Rock trying to give him the rub.
Well,
and then they even, like, you know, that next pay-per-view was like, well, we're putting up your opportunity on the line against Daniel Bryan, and so they have this, you know, a pretty good drag down, you know, just fight.
Yeah.
That Roman ends up winning, and that's kind of like, see, fans, he's earning it. You know?
Yeah, yes.
Because it wasn't necessarily like, you know, let's beat up the indie guy that the fans love. It was more of a, you know, using Daniel Bryan to kind of boost him up.
Yeah.
By, like, really making him grind it out and work for it.
Sure. You know? And I remember even, we said at the time, okay, you know, there's been missteps with Roman, but if you make him work hard and make him show that he is working hard, you can still fix it.
Right.
And they kind of tried it. Like, they, you know, they made him work a lot of matches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he hit a lot of stiff, hard matches. But at the end of the day, he was still winning them all.
Yeah. You need a... It's one of those things, it comes back to the joke that Joel likes to make that rings incredibly true, where it's just like, man, if there's some odds, John Cena's going to find him and he's going to overcome him, even though, like, what, how are they booking him as the underdog anymore? Yes. Like, it seems silly. So, Yeah, it's kind of that same thing where like they haven't booked Roman as an underdog, and they haven't really booked him as that in a while.
They tried it.
You've got to build some sort of drama, and that's kind of why I like the feud he's had with Braun Strowman, because it has kind of been a back and forth. Like, yeah, Roman wins majority of the time, but you know Braun's gotten some wins in there too, like the ambulance match.
Braun has not looked weak or
no.
Like, he's gotten run over or anything right. like that.
And it's gone on, like, since...
Well, it's continuously for about 4 months now, but it had rumblings before that, too.
Well,
it
turned on and off
before WrestleMania.
It was since Fastlane?
Yeah.
So that's since February.
Well, remember, they kind of rolled back on it for WrestleMania.
They kind of ended it. They can do the Undertaker thing.
Yeah.
But immediately, the night
right after, they picked it back up. And it hasn't stopped since then.
No, it really hasn't. And I feel like it's just going to keep going. And honestly, I'm okay with, like, I haven't gotten tired of it yet. They consistently put on, you know, they're not technically, like, amazing matches or anything. Yeah. But they're, like, you know, they catch your eye. They hold your attention, you know, which is...
Their matches are almost fun. It's just the... Again, it's the storytelling issues of, like...
Right, and that's the thing. There's not really a story anymore. It's just two big guys who are always pissed off at each other.
Well, and then you get these confusing character notes about, you know, when it comes to Roman, like, basically doing attempted murder on Strowman with the ambulance,
attempted vehicular manslaughter, yeah.
Yeah, like, that stuff just sort of... Oh, well, that was a pretty good match. That was pretty brutal. And then he had that... goofy, like, miss spear into the ambulance, and then that whole thing that was awkward and went on too long, like, it just kind of spoiled it.
Oh, God, that's my favorite thing. It's like, he tried to kill a guy because he himself leapt into the arms of defeat with no help from anyone.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
See, like, that would be the way John Cena would win against somebody else, is by John Cena tricking them into trying to spear into an ambulance.
Right.
Oh, and then sure. Yeah, like, that.
Like, he might as well have had, like, a red... To try to get the bull to go by him. Yeah,
but that's so weird that it was Roman was the first that did that, and then Strowman was the one that won, and then the whole thing afterwards, like, just made that so confusing, like, totally.
And that's why it doesn't make sense that Roman, like, in that scenario with what happened, it makes zero sense that Roman is the face.
Exactly.
Because that felt like the perfect thing to come up with, like, here's the heel who is finally getting his comeuppance, you know, he made this dumb mistake, but he's still a heel, so he gets angry, and he's still strong, so he busts out, beats up the face, throws him in the ambulance, and backs him in, you know,
yeah.
So you get a sympathy storyline, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not at all what happened. And has Roman turned heel? I don't know.
It's not, I mean, there's been a bunch of other stuff that's, like, kind of been heelish, like,
He's not being admonished like anytime Kevin Owens does something, commentators are like, oh,
right.
How
it's
could
not
he?
Supported.
Like, right. Like, how could he do such a thing? And Roman is like, can you believe that? Like, you know, almost glorifying it.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, I've seen interviews with him where he kind of talks about the switch from moving down through the crowd to moving down the ramp.
Yeah.
The way he talked about it, it sounded like he was trying to build himself as a heel. That, it used to be going down the ramp was, I'm the man of the people coming from the crowd.
Yeah.
Whereas now when he goes down the ramp, he kind of, like, glares and growls at people. And it's like, oh, I'm too good for this. At least that's the way he described it. But then you have these commentators that start talking about how awesome he is. It's like, well, okay, now we're just confused.
Now he has to walk through like everybody else so they can show off that beautiful Ed Hardy-like Tron... style that he's got there with the believe that in giant freaking letters and
that's
this
not
weird
doing many favors.
Fist. He loves fists.
Yeah, me and Chris are looking at each other right now, and we're both very much not saying something.
Also, since we're recording this at my house and I didn't have to travel all the way to Joel's house, I'm enjoying a beer.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, beer's a strong word.
Okay, it's a beer to me.
It's about as close as beer as Chris is going to get.
Here's the wrestling connection. It's beer to me, damn it. Oh,
God, I hope you guys thought that was funny. Actually, I'm drinking an Angry Orchard. That's why he's making fun of me.
So, actually, speaking of beer, so the ambulance segment actually reminded me of, like, a weird misunderstanding of a Stone Cold segment.
Yeah.
Like, if you...
And I think that's the point that Joel made, where, like, it's something that Stone Cold Steve Austin would have done, except, like, he would have thrown, like, Vince McMahon in it, and he would have been cheered to high heaven.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, we're not in that environment anymore.
Yeah. And you, like, every once in a while
they had Roman put, like, Stephanie in the ambulance or something, like, and an authoritative figure that everyone hates.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, everyone would have, you know, been all for it.
Yeah.
Like, well, she had that coming, or something like.
But, like, honestly, like, is Stephanie that much of a heel? Like, at this point, she's kind of like McMahon is now, where it's just, oh, it's this person that we're kind of, like, having fun seeing.
She'll get, like, especially now that she's been gone for a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, she's been gone since WrestleMania. She'll get a decent face pop when she first comes back.
Yeah.
But as soon as she says something...
She'll probably start kicking it back up again.
Right. Yeah. Once she ramps that back up, people will still, like, we'll boo her.
We'll play along.
Yeah. So, I don't, like, I pull back the curtain, guys. There's not a lot going on right now.
In case you didn't already know that.
Because we're rehashing the same conversation we had, like, weeks and months ago. But we're having it, but it should be new, because Neil wasn't here on that podcast.
Oh, and I do want to say, you guys were bagging on Jinder pretty bad last week. And I don't know, man. I'm still entertained. Like, I'm still along for this ride. Like, I don't know. I don't really have a good reason
he got... How do I put this? Everyone got pretty dirty from that Punjabi prison match. It was like...
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it's like, no one came out, you know, with their hands washed of it. Like, everyone, like... Everyone who had a hand on it for some reason felt like they were, like, responsible.
But even then, like, I kind of... Okay, so it's not new, but it was new to me. Like, I was at least respecting the fact that they tried to do something different.
Sure, and again, it's new in the sense that Randy and Jinder are, like, the smallest guys to have ever been in a Punjabi prison.
Yeah, it's probably the most successful Punjabi prison match they've ever had.
And they're now 3-for-3 as far as having a Punjabi prison match that has Great Khali involved somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I could have. I
have a little point of contention with what you're saying about us dogging on Jinder. I feel like I gave him a lot of props, I think, last week.
Okay.
Where I was kind of wanting to push all the blame for the staleness of their.
Okay, that is fair.
Right,
yeah,
I put all the blame on Randy because. Yeah. He seems like everything he does is half-assed.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, like, I'm willing to see now what Jinder can do with someone who gets a crack.
I am excited to see what Jinder can do with somebody else.
Right. And, you know, is he going to get his face knocked in by Nakamura? Probably.
He probably should.
And honestly, like, I'll be the first one to admit, like, that main event on SmackDown this week with Jinder and Randy was pretty good.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, honestly, was because of Jinder.
Yeah.
Maybe Jinder had had enough, and he called a match for once, and he decided to take some risks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've heard from a lot of people that, you know, the biggest critique of Randy's is that he likes to stay within his comfort zone.
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, planning out matches or calling matches. So maybe Jinder called that one. I don't know.
It's possible.
Especially
for, like, that would be a good situation to give Jinder the opportunity to learn how to call a match.
And again, it was good to see Jinder go through a match without any sort of, like, involvement.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Or outside involvement. Because it's almost like, you know, we're not used to seeing Jinder do a complete match by himself. At least not in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he lost, and it's kind of BS that the champion lost to someone who's not even the number one contender or whatever. But all that aside, still, Jinder put on a pretty good match on his own, without any outside interference, and held his own, and it showed that, you know what, maybe he... I wouldn't say he belongs on the top shelf.
Yeah,
but
sure.
He, you know... He belongs higher up than what he was before this. I don't know if that was just because it's a steep learning curve and he's just, you know, picked up that much in the time that he's been in the main event scene.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's always had this potential and he's finally, you know, like, getting used to the legs underneath his feet. Like, you know, he just finally grew into it.
And I gotta admit, like, his promos are not great. They're not clever.
Right.
But he brings a lot of energy to them.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's more than you can say for Randy Orton.
Yeah. It's enough that it's more than you can say with Baron Corbin.
And it kind of amuses me to think that whenever he speaks in... Is it Hindi? Do we know what language he's speaking?
I'm assuming.
It's probably not Urdu, but anyway. Yeah, but like whatever...
Whatever language they speak in Punjabi.
In Canada.
That was I saw that post by Meltzer, and I think Joel even made the same comment on the podcast.
No.
I think he made the same comment. Like, I think this will be the first like main event or championship match between people of two Asian cultures.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I remember.
I think the difference is I think on Twitter the person just said two people from Asia.
Okay.
Joel I think said from two Asian cultures.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is. I'll give him that
little. Yeah, that's a little bit more.
And then Meltzer was like, yeah, Canada's not in Asia.
But anyway, like, when he speaks, you know, in that language, when he speaks to India,
mm-hmm.
those have got to be face promos, right?
When he's specifically speaking in
that
language, I don't know. I've never, like, read a transcript of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't speak the language.
Yeah.
I would imagine so.
Or at least, you know, because I was under the impression that part of this is to kind of, like, support a push into India
mm-hmm.
in terms of, like, building up a fan base there. So, sure, great, why not? But, like, you wouldn't want to lead with a complete heel for that.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of deliver a different message in that language if that's kind of your goal anyway. So, anyway, it's kind of fun just to think that he's probably saying something completely different because it's not like we're being given a translation or anything.
Right, yeah. Let's see. Where should we go from here? Oh, man.
What do you think of Nakamura's promo skills at this point? Because I saw that interview he had with Renee.
The pre-tape?
Yeah.
I think that was a really smart idea.
Uh-huh.
Because the last time we saw him do, like, any sort of, like... Anything that was bigger than, like, a soundbite was, like, talking smack, and it didn't go smoothly.
Yeah.
And again, he's speaking a language that is not what he was, like, it's not his native language.
Yeah.
So, obviously, he's going to have a little bit of problem. And it's one of those things where, like, he can get the idea across, but it takes him a little bit to kind of, you know,
sure.
process it.
Sure.
As I'm sure anyone could. Like, I took four college-level classes of Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled mightily, and I didn't retain anything of it. So the fact that he knows this much is really impressive.
Yeah.
I
mean, I was almost kind of speaking just towards the content. Like, it seemed pretty babyface to me.
For Nakamura?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's a face.
I mean, he's a face, but, like, I don't know. I was expecting a little bit more of a edge to what he was saying, but he was like, oh, I'm really honored to be here. It's always been my dream to be in WWE.
Nah, yeah. It's best to keep him, like, you know, white meat babyface,
because
that's the reaction he's getting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really worry him with any sort of edge right now.
Yeah.
And again, it might also just speak to just, you know, keeping the language really basic for him.
And that's fair.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I think the way they rolled that out was really well done. And then, honestly, from that point on, you don't really need to say anything else. It's freaking Nakamura.
Yeah, like, it's not
what else
really
do you need? What else do you need to say?
Yeah.
If the fans if they didn't watch NXT and at least watch SmackDown, you know, consistently, they saw, you know, granted, there's not been a lot of great examples of exactly why he's so great.
Yes.
But there has been more recently, specifically with that match against Baron Corbin, like,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, and the match with Cena, you know, even with, you know, Nakamura dumping Cena, which a lot of people are now, like, starting to kind of, like, really, like, analyze it, and they're like, oh, Cena should have, he should have jumped more or something. Like they tried, you know, not necessarily was all Nakamura's fault there.
Yeah.
Either way, the last before this week, but the last the two SmackDowns prior to this, you know, were really good examples of like this is what he's capable of when he's got like when he's fighting for something that you know that got has him energized or he's you know with the Baron Corbin situation where he's pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've been a little surprised for his run in SmackDown so far that he hasn't had the situations where he's really been energized. Because, you know, we saw the stuff in NXT, especially when he was first there. He's like, okay, wow.
But also in NXT, we also did see, like, this was, like, a lot of, you know, people in America, their first chance to see him consistently on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So that's where we also realized that, oh, if it's just, like, a match against a jobber or something like that, he's not going to pull it all out. Like, and why should he? Honestly.
Yeah. And he's in his 40s, right?
Late 30s.
Okay.
But, and he's been wrestling in Japan, like, that entire time, which that alone takes a huge deal.
That's true.
You know, strain on, you know, a wrestler's body. And honestly, he's fortunate to be still be doing it. Considering all the, you know, the stuff that he's been through.
Well, yeah. Well, look at Kenta or, you know, some of the other guys that come into NXT. They get injured, you know, time after time after time.
I mean, just look at a recent, like, with Shibata. Like, he's still, I believe he's still in the hospital from a match, like, 3 months ago.
Oof.
And, like, he's... Like, you know, they're posting updates, like, every once in a while, anytime that he actually can speak. And, like, he's excited that he can see right now. Like, it's one of those things of, like, no one's asking him, you know, when he's coming back to the ring. Like,
nobody's even bothering.
We were basically all, like, assuming, like, it's over. You know, and even, like, New Japan's like, we'll bring him on as a coach.
Oof.
And he, like, he's been in it for a while. But you know, it's one of those things where he was just kind of like starting to get some like notoriety in America, like in you know other countries and everything.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when like one of your main offensive moves is a like literal straight up headbutt, you know, and where you're trying to draw blood on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, every time.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that Nakamura has wrestled in that strong style. For so long.
Well, and then even when nothing...
He's got to be banged up, but he's still going.
You know? When nothing goes wrong, even that kind of wrestling still wears on your joints, wears on your muscles, wears on your cartilage.
Exactly. Like,
that stuff adds up.
I mean, there's a lot of articles now, or not a lot of posts now, about, you know, people are reporting that the G1 Climax is still going on in New Japan, and I want to say they're... just past halfway at this point.
Okay.
And everyone's injured. Everyone's hurt. Okada, I believe they are saying, like, it's kind of like a, you know, like, obviously, but they're saying, like, Okada and Omega, which, you know, obviously are their two main draws, like, both of them have, like, severe, like, neck pains.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah.
Going through, and it's one that's like, well, yeah, look at the matches that they've been in.
Oh, sure.
And they've been wrestling, like, every day in that style, you know, way more frequently than they're used to.
That's a bad sign, though. The neck pain stuff, like, that's...
I mean, a lot of them were injured already before the G1 even started,
right.
You know? Or at least aches and pain. Like, wrestlers are always going to have aches and pains and everything, but... still.
Well, then there's that mentality of just going after it, even when you're hurt.
Yeah.
You know, finishing the match, still keep on.
And, you know, it's a, was it a double round robin or something like that? I forget the structure of the G1.
Mm.
But it's one of those things where it's like, well, yeah, it feels almost impossible for them to be going through that many matches in such a short period of time. And each one is brutal, or most of them are so brutal. And yet you expect the two finalists to put on like this knockdown drag out fight at the end.
Yeah.
It seems impossible. Like, and somehow they've pulled it off these last few years. But still.
Yeah.
You know? So what do you think as far as SmackDown goes with the WWE Championship? Do you think Nakamura leaves SummerSlam with the championship?
It's hard to say.
Or do you think, like, he might win, but Baron Corbin, like, cashes in?
Oh, that's a good point, too, because that's still on the run.
But at the same time, Baron Corbin is going to have, from what I understand, Baron Corbin's going to have a match against Cena on SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can see it moving off of gender, because, you know, I think WWE's probably satisfied with what they got out of gender, and now they're ready to move on to something else.
He held it from, shortly after Mania until now.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's a solid run, and, I would not be at all surprised if they're ready to move on to somebody else, somebody that they have more, you know.
Right, and they're at a big event, so.
Yeah, and it'd be a good time to move it. Nakamura is a strong candidate, but then again, so is Baron Corbin. They've been so consistently behind Corbin that I would not be surprised if they put the belt on him.
Right, I mean, just like how I wasn't surprised that Baron Corbin won the briefcase in the first place.
Well, this is true.
You know, I don't know.
I don't see him cashing in and then losing the briefcase.
No, they like booking him too strongly. And also, you know, I'm assuming Nakamura wins and they're probably going to leave the shenanigans out of it. Yeah. Or if they do, Nakamura's, you know, going to overcome them. Like, I don't really see them booking that the same way that they booked Randy. Mm-hmm.
You think that goes on last at SummerSlam?
No, God, no. That Fatal 4-Way is going on last. 100%. When you got Brock Lesnar involved, you got Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
I forgot it was a Fatal 4-Way.
Okay. When you're Vince McMahon and you've got a match with that much man meat, he's going to put all that man meat in this main event.
Yeah.
Which sounds dirty.
It's a dumb question.
Right? God, why do I even have you on here? Because I couldn't do this podcast when I'm just sitting here talking to myself. I should do that one week.
I was going to say, you should try.
I should try. And then, like, you could either, because obviously you would be editing it. Either you could, like, cut it down to where I'm not, like, there's not, like, you know, dead air.
Uh-huh.
Because it would absolutely be dead air.
Oh, yeah.
You can cut it down to where, like, I sound like I'm pretty consistently talking for, like, maybe, like, 10, 15 minutes instead of, like, a lot of ums and uhs.
Ums and, yeah.
And nothing for like 40 minutes. But I could see Baron cashing in after Nakamura wins.
Mm-hmm.
Do like kind of like the Daniel Bryan John Cena thing from SummerSlam a few years ago.
Yeah.
When Randy Orton came and cashed in.
Yeah.
I could see that happening, and then at the next SmackDown pay per view doing like a triple threat.
Oh, okay.
You know, that way either you can have somebody not Nakamura win without Nakamura getting pinned.
Yeah.
And that could be a way to get, you know, gender out of the storyline.
Well, kind of give him a ramp off.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or they could do that on SmackDown. I don't know. SmackDown likes to put like these big matches on USA.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I kind of wonder what will happen to gender after that, because I could easily see him going the route of Rusev, of just being kind of this yet another mid-upper card kind of guy who's an easy antagonist to use but rarely has a story.
Right, they'll build him up enough to have a big match against someone and then immediately lose and then forget about him.
Yeah, you know? And then kind of
run. And yes, we're saying a feud with Randy Orton is just as much as forgetting about a guy.
Well, this is true.
Because at that point, nobody cares.
Yeah. Including Randy Orton.
Right. I am seeing, there was a rumor going around. It was a dirt sheet, I believe, that posted a thing where they're like, don't be surprised if they're repackaging Dolph Ziggler.
I saw that same thing.
Into what?
Like, right?
He's been, like, what else is left for him? Like, are they really going to put any sort of momentum behind him?
No.
But then again, I could never guess them putting any momentum at all behind Jinder Mahal, and look at him now.
Well, SmackDown is kind of that place to go. Yeah, where
I swear, if you say Land of Opportunity, I'm going to smash this bottle up against your face. It's so cliche at this point, but
yeah,
you know.
I mean, there's a little bit of truth behind it. I mean, it's not going to happen on Raw. Let me put it that way.
God, no.
Raw is where people with interesting ideas go to just not be on TV.
Or when you're like, oh, hey, SmackDown had a good idea. Let's take that, put it on Raw, and kill it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But speaking of, you know, and I know a lot, I'm not the first person to have had this thought, but you know what would be really great for this particular wrestler? Move Finn Balor to SmackDown.
Yes.
Because I feel like he's being so weight, and I, again, like, that's just such a, like a, just a, it sounds like a generic complaint about anybody's favorite wrestler or whatever.
Oh, okay, so what about, so remember how they were calling John Cena a free agent there for a little while?
Yeah.
That go anywhere?
I think that's going to go somewhere after SummerSlam.
Okay, so what about this? Raw gets John Cena like we all know Raw wants.
Right.
Trade Finn Balor over to SmackDown in exchange.
Maybe.
You get a face for a face?
They could have done that with Jason Jordan. Because they moved Jason.
That's true.
When they announced him to be Kurt Angle's son.
Yeah.
You know, he was brought over from SmackDown. SmackDown didn't get jack squat from that.
Yeah.
They could have moved Finn Balor just like, you know, bingo bango, and you don't have this weird, lame
feud with him and Bray. It would be really easy to do, just throwing a line, Kurt Angle just being like, oh, well, turns out it's him, and to get him over here, I traded away Finn Balor, even though Finn Balor's a better talent, because he's my son. Yeah, you know, it's easy.
Or, like, you know, he's trying to say that Jason Jordan has all this potential, so yeah, that's why, you know,
I traded away a big name to be able to get him.
Right, so in Kurt Angle's eyes, it's a equal one-to-one trade.
Right.
Fine. Yeah, absolutely. That would have worked perfectly fine. Now, I want to say, I do you think all these weird, like, like supernatural power battle between Finn and Bray. Obviously, this is leading to like Finn finally coming back out as the demon.
The demon,
right?
Yeah, that's
right?
Easy.
It's
right?
It's weird that he hasn't come back out in the makeup, right?
I think he's built up to it. I think somebody told him to keep that in his pocket for a while.
Sure. Also, I'm tired of him fidgeting with his jacket. Like, every time he's wearing, he's, like, popping the collar, like, every five steps.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's almost like a prop at this. It's like a, what do I do with my hands kind of thing. You know, kind of popping it or flinging it open or...
I would agree with you about that, except, what was it, this week, he had it on while he was attacking Bray, and he would take time from attacking Bray to pop his collar and do the next move.
Yeah,
and, okay. I don't know if it was this week or the week before, but it was just like, okay, now it feels silly.
Yeah.
Do what everybody else does and take, you know, your decorative gear off.
Yes.
In order to do the physical stuff.
Well, and that's the thing, because like some people have like full on, you know, decorative walkout gear, and then they strip down quite a bit when they actually get in the ring.
Like,
and he's just got his trunks and the jacket. Like, it's not hard to get rid of that jacket.
It's like Alicia Fox, she would have like that weird, like the Fox like jacket or whatever.
Yes.
She would immediately take it off like two steps outside of the curtain.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, what was the point of even wearing that in the first place? Like, it just seems a waste of money because, you know, I'm assuming you spend money on making it. So, what's the point? There was also a lot of injuries going on this week. You know, obviously the big one was... Bailey, she got hurt last week, and they did an evaluation before Raw this week, so she's out of SummerSlam.
Yeah,
had two triple threat matches, and the winners of each will go to Raw this week to be the number one, to figure out who's going to be the number one contender. Mm-hmm. That's Nia Jax and Sasha Banks. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's going to be Sasha Banks because you know they're not going to because Nia and Alexa Bliss are, you know, best friends or whatever, and they're, like, associated together on TV as well, and I don't think they're ready for that to turn just yet.
Yeah.
Because there's not really, there hasn't been much there to begin with,
yeah,
at least on television. So I have a feeling Sasha's going to win. And honestly, like, you know, I was brought up on Bring It to the Table from, like, a week ago or the week before, where they were saying, like, there's a natural storyline with Sasha and Alexa, because they go back and forth on Twitter all the time, you know, and just kind of, you know, snip at each other.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's one of those things where it's like, we all like Bailey, fine. But the storyline should have been between Alexa and Sasha. You know, that's where it was. Like, it should have been, that should have been the SummerSlam match. Now, I will say this. Apparently, according to people, and again, this could just be people pulling stuff out of their butts. Vince wasn't happy with the reaction that Bayley got in Canada.
Yeah.
And that one was weird.
That was weird. There was a lot of weird reactions this week in Canada.
Well, I understand, because apparently there were also people weren't happy with the reaction that Jason Jordan got.
Yes.
But yeah, and now it's a guy from Canada, you know?
Yeah.
And Canada is going to get behind their guy, even a guy from Montreal.
Yeah.
Because I think that was what they're, that, I think that's what was reported. Like, they're thinking is like, I believe we're in Toronto. It's like, we're in Toronto. They're not going to cheer for a guy from Montreal. It's like, no.
Yeah.
They're going to cheer for the Canadian.
Well, isn't Kevin Owens actually French-Canadian?
French-Canadian, so is Sami Zayn. Yeah. So is Maryse, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
But again, okay, like,
you know, a Canadian versus Canadian, maybe people line up that way, but a Canadian versus anybody else.
Sure, like, if you're watching the Olympics and, like, the finalists are America and, or excuse me, yeah, the finalists are America and Russia.
Sure.
Like, let's say basketball. Let's just say basketball.
Yeah.
Some miracle, Russia makes it to the finals in basketball.
Yeah.
And you have the captain of the United States. Let's just say it's someone I hate, like that ball kid that just got drafted by the Lakers. Yeah, okay. Let's say he's the captain. He's the leader.
Yeah.
I hate him. Uh-huh. I'm not going to cheer for freaking Russia.
Yeah, right. You know? Yes, yes.
Like, it's not going to happen. That team could just be made of, like, four ball clones and Carmelo Anthony.
Uh-huh.
I hate that team so much to the point where I feel kind of gross thinking about it. I will still cheer for the teams of the ball, of the Balls and Anthony. I say that, and my favorite team, Houston Rockets, are now starting up talks again of trying to trade for Carmelo Anthony. I hate it. He's going to ruin our locker room. That's a whole different story.
That is a different
story. That is a basketball cast, which I should do a sports cast. I'm surprised I haven't already.
I mean, you've tried.
For a sports podcast?
I mean, talking about other sports on podcasts.
Well, I've tried, like, just mentioning sports that, you know, is making me happy. Usually, like, what's making me happy or whatever. True. Or trying that's to make true. Some sort of, like, sports metaphor. Or
there was a time where it was, like, it was a football story for the first 15 minutes of every classic ring attire.
Was it? I don't remember that.
It was a couple years ago.
I assume it was back when you were still editing. Cause that's
yes.
When you actually, like, listen closely to the podcast.
Well, I mean, I still listen to it every week.
Well, welcome to classic lying attire.
My first two things I said were responding to things that you said last week on Classy Ring Attire.
Yeah, because you knew you were going to be on here, so you would get backtracked.
I made sure to listen to it on time this week.
There you go. Well done. I guess it's about that time. Do you have anything that's making you happy?
Okay, so I've got one thing, and this might be a little vindictive, but so the Once Upon a Time video game maker, Valve, has announced that they're making a new game.
Okay.
And so the current, the Dota, their MOBA game, Internationals, are going on right now. And they've made an announcement that they're going to have a really, really big announcement.
They're the ones that made Dota, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about. I saw the video.
Okay, yeah.
I saw
the video. Yeah. Okay. So they made an announcement that they're going to make a new game. And this is Valve. They haven't made a new game in years. Right. They haven't made a new Half-Life in 11 years.
Yeah.
And people were losing their minds in excitement. And so it's this huge arena, their biggest event that they ever run. And they start showing this video. It's really abstract, not clear what's going on, but it's got Half-Life music. It's clearly the same composer. All the same like cues and everything. So people are getting hype. And then it shows at the end, Artifact. The Dota 2 collectible card game. And no, just
see, the thing, it was the slow, like, they just showed Artifact.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, yeah. And then the card game stuff faded.
And then just the entire crowd of people that went to see Dota 2, a Valve game that paid money to go see it, and were, that is their thing. They started booing.
Yeah.
On live, oh man, it was just the most delicious, delicious Schadenfreude I've ever felt.
I don't understand how game developers expect, like, the overwhelming gaming community to get excited for card games.
I mean, okay.
Like, clearly, like, that they had to have known they were going to get the reaction, didn't they?
Valve, I don't understand them. They just do what they want to do.
Like, I think they're overestimating how many gamers like these card games.
Well, okay, so...
Like, yeah, they'll do good business.
They'll probably make a good one, because if the one they actually try to do something, they do a pretty good job.
Right.
But it's too late. I mean, okay, so Hearthstone... pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Gwent, Elder Scrolls, Legend. Like, we've got a glut of them right now. And one that's going to be 2 years out from now, like, nobody's going to be interested. And plus, mm-hmm. based on a property that has a small core audience that's really into it, and then nobody else cares.
Talking about Dota?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I've heard the name plenty of times.
Yeah.
Still don't know what that
game is. So, you know League of Legends that your roommate Ed plays all the time?
Okay.
It is the other one of those.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair. Let's see. What's making me... Okay. I had an interesting night tonight watching some preseason football.
Oh, yeah.
Going
yeah.
right back to sports. Yep. Hi. How's it going? Classy sports attire. What's up? I'm happy for the future of Chicago Bears football.
Uh-huh.
Not excited about this season.
Not excited about the current management decisions.
Right. I've talked about on the podcast how, you know, the Bears did, like, a really, like, you know, head-scratching move to move up in the draft one spot and trade away quite a bit to move up one spot to make sure they can get Mitch Trubisky, a quarterback from the University of Chapel Hill. Again, my favorite school, fine, whatever.
Not really a football school.
Not a football school. Also, he never started a full season. He's played 12 games in his college career, started, and he's taken number 2 overall. Seems like a risk.
Yeah.
And so, but they had also spent a lot of money on a perennial backup quarterback, Mike Glennon.
Mm-hmm.
And did they spend up too much money on him? I don't know. Maybe $40 million is too much to pay a guy who's never been a starter in the National Football League to be a starter in the National Football League. Well, this was the first preseason game. And again, we're going up against the Denver Broncos, which is, you know, a stout defense.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of starters, usual starters, that didn't play. Because it's the first game of preseason.
Oh, yeah, it's preseason.
Not all your star players are going to play. But they put in Mike Glennon, and he went 2 for 6. with 20-something yards. And on the first drive, as a Chicago Bear, he throws a pick 6, which, for our non-American friends, means he threw it to the other team, and they ran it back and scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
The second drive was just a 3-and-out. He didn't do anything. I think they ran for 2 of those plays.
Whoa.
Third possession, there was a botched snap from the center. Lost it to the other team.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and they also, like, they signed... Mr. Butt Fumble himself. We signed Mark Sanchez to be our backup quarterback.
Can we say that on Classic Ring Attire?
Butt Fumble? God, yeah. Please. And you know what? He did okay, I guess, as our second. He put him in for a little bit. With like a minute left in the first half, they put in Trubisky, I guess to have him see what he can do in like the high-pressure 2-minute drill.
Mm-hmm.
And he just marches down the field and scores a touchdown.
Yep.
So I'm like, all right, maybe, you know, he's not terrible. And he comes back in the second half, and he does it again. Marches all the way down, and, like, they get to the 1-yard line, hand the ball off, touchdown. So he looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to catch, like, the last, I was leaving work, so I didn't really catch the last mm-hmm. bit of the fourth quarter. And we ended up losing, but still.
Yeah.
It looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And, oh man, so the owners are the owners of the team. And I think, the GM has already, like, given an interview afterwards. They're like, we're sticking with Mike Glennon. He's our starting quarterback. And I'm like, why though?
So that's what we call a sunk cost.
And
you just got to eat it.
And oh, sure.
It makes sense.
And honestly, like, if they eventually get it right, I don't care how much money these rich people spend.
Yeah.
You know, I just want my teams to win.
Right.
But after watching Glennon, it was like a real, like, just downward slope for me. I'm like, oh, great. Because I was expecting, like, you know, it's a transition year. We'll probably go, like, 4-12.
Yeah.
After watching him, I'm like, I'm praying for 4-12. If he's starting every... If he's starting every game for the entire 16-game season,
yeah,
we're going to go 0-16. Defense looks good. Offense looked horrible just because of him. So here's looking forward to Mitch Trubisky. Probably, I'm assuming, going to start, I'm going to say, by week 9, which is about halfway.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not 0-8 by then.
Yeah.
But is it, because that's the way it always works with the NFL, or with these teams that draft these, like, rookie players, these rookies quarterbacks. They're like, they never want to start them right off the bat. They want to, like, let them, you know, sit on the bench, learn, grow into the role.
Sure, yeah.
Because, you know, that's what happened with Aaron Rodgers. But then again, Aaron Rodgers was behind Brett freaking Favre. So of course he wasn't gonna, so of course he wasn't going to start as a rookie.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it as of late, like you saw with the Rams last year, where like the pressure of losing so many games and the pressure of like trying to win one more game,
yeah.
Eventually, they're like, you know what? Fine, just so the fans will stop chanting for it like during the games, we'll start the rookie and see what he can do. And you know, the one last year was Jared Goff. You know, he gave him a better chance than what Case Keenum could give him. But then you've got the Eagles, who like ran into this weird situation where they like ran out of other quarterbacks ahead of them before the season started. And so, like, day one, or day one of the regular season, they started their Carson Wentz, their rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, he looked really good.
I mean,
he had some rookie bumps here and there.
After a point, what have you got to lose?
Right. You know, so you've got that with, like, four quarterbacks now. Because four quarterbacks were taken in the first round this year.
Mm.
Trubisky, Deshaun Kizer, Deshaun Watson, and the kid that the Chiefs moved up like to number 10 to pick, and it was so freaking dumb. When they've got a good quarterback as it is, but that's just me. Mahomes, I think that's his last name. I don't know what his first name is. And all four of them are in a situation where like none of the teams are wanting to start them day one.
Yeah,
you know. Now, granted, I feel like Deshaun Kizer is probably the one to get the start the first because he's playing for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
So again, it's not like there's a lot in front of him.
I already said, what else have you got to lose?
Right. They've got Brock Osweiler as their starting quarterback, and he played for Houston last year. I'm so going so deep in the
into
this. He played for Houston last year, and Houston is a stacked team. Except for a quarterback. A blind man with one arm could lead the Houston Texans to a playoff spot. They got a playoff spot anyway. But they like could like win them a championship.
Uh-huh.
They are incredibly stacked on defense. Very talented on offense. It doesn't take much. And he couldn't get it done, so they gave it to a guy named Tom Savage. Like, with, like, a few weeks left in the regular season. And then he couldn't cut it, so they brought Osweiler back in. It was a whole mess. So, he's the new starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Well.
Yeah. So, I feel like Deshaun Kizer is probably going to get a look a lot sooner than the other guys. And then probably Trubisky. And then probably Deshaun Watson in Houston. Because I don't think Tom Savage is going to carry the team. So, you know, it's an interesting year. I'm just happy that football's back, if you couldn't tell by my rant.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well,
we're even having a football party at work, so, you know, it's...
Right? It's and thing. For the football people out there, I honestly think as long as Derek Carr can stay healthy, I feel like Oakland Raiders might be the team to beat. Because they were the...
That doesn't sound
right. I know. They were because they were the team to beat until... The second to last week of the season, their quarterback breaks his leg. So they brought in a rookie to come in, you know, for the last week and the playoffs.
Mm.
Or no, I think he broke his leg in the last game of the regular season. It might have been. Had that not happened, I don't think the New England Patriots make it to the Super Bowl, to be honest with you. Now, of course, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, would have, like, sacrificed an extra virgin or something, and he would have made it because freaking New England.
Found another Satan to do a deal with.
Right, like, he would just, you know, sacrifice some virgin to the god of massholes. I don't know.
Either way, that on Classy Ring Attire?
I said mass holes. Okay. As Massachusetts. Bam. Got around that.
I've been good this podcast.
You've been good. You've been good. I think I've sworn more than you have. I think the NFC South is gonna be hard to get through. New Orleans aside, because Drew Brees is getting old. Carolina, I feel is going to be a much better team this year. Tampa Bay was scrappy last year, and they've only gotten better. And Atlanta Falcons were, you know, obviously they made it to the Super Bowl. They were incredible. And I feel like they're going to continue that because, they didn't lose any pieces, and they've only gained from there. So, I don't know. It's going to be a fun season, hopefully better than last year, because I know a lot of people were complaining last year that it wasn't
that good. I can remember that.
Wasn't that good of a year. So we'll see. I'm hoping that a giant sinkhole opens up underneath Gillette Stadium in Boston. I think it's in Boston. Whatever. Under Gillette Stadium, and just the entire Patriots organization, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, all of them just into the sinkhole.
Well, you're not...
And not dead, but trapped.
Lost for a while.
Trapped underneath all the rubble for a few months. And given, like, they were able to, like, get, like, food and provisions down to them, so they're fine. They're okay.
Why couldn't have Bane done that to the Patriots instead of the Steelers?
I mean... I'm okay with that too.
That's where you're Steelers? Wrong, buddy.
This is the Steelers. Like, it's fine. Also, you know, another story that I'm sure everyone was going to hear about is, you know, will a team finally pick up Colin Kaepernick? You know, with all the quote unquote controversy circling around with him, especially when the team that cut him still desperately needs a quarterback. Their starting quarterback is Brian Hoyer. And if you're, like, scratching your head and wondering who, exactly.
Sounds like a NASCAR driver.
Brian Hoyer?
Brian Hoyer. Couldn't you see him, like, you know, number 27, Brian Hoyer?
Well, obviously not 27, because it's Paul Menard's car.
Obviously.
I'm secretly a redneck, you guys.
As he sits here wearing a ball cap and a shirt with no undershirt, and...
You're not making any sense. I don't know why. Okay, anyway, let's end this train wreck.
Let's end Classy Football Attire.
Yeah, I don't think I have any more points to make. except that teams like the 49ers, even though they're the ones that got rid of them, the 49ers, Ravens, and Steelers, and honestly, Miami, even though they've picked up Jay Cutler, that's not an improvement. Those four teams are idiots not to at least give Colin Kaepernick a look. Like, start him. Not start him, but, like, pick him up. See how he does in their preseason. They can still cut him. You know? But he's a serviceable quarterback, and those are teams that need serviceable quarterbacks. So give the guy a shot. Who cares what he does during the national anthem? It's not that big of a freaking deal. Anyway. Shut up. I'm trying to remember how we start.
Just talk about football more. You got another, like, 20 minutes in you.
Honestly, a lot of that football stuff is because I couldn't remember how Joel started the plugs. So that was major vamping. As always, you can catch us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays, sometimes Wednesdays during NXT, some Sundays during pay-per-views. Just follow us on Twitter. We're talking about wrestling all the time there.
It's not that hard.
You'd be surprised. But we're talking about wrestling a lot on there, so... And sometimes I'm talking about sports on there. It happens. So follow us at CR Attire. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com. I was able to do that one smoothly because that's usually my line anyway.
iTunes.
And you can find us on iTunes. Just search for Classroom Ring Attire on your iTunes and you can subscribe to us on there. You get all the shows there straight to your mobile device, to your computer, wherever you have your iTunes on every week. And while you're there, go ahead and leave us a comment, or excuse me, rate and review us. That's the term that they use for iTunes. Rate and review us. Give us a rating of 5 stars, you assholes. And, yeah, like, it helps us out with the metrics and everything, and it helps us be more visible on iTunes, give us more of a present there, so we kind of grow, and so other people may enjoy this train wreck that I'm currently trying to steer away from the town. Because right now, this freight train is heading towards a giant...
A giant
daycare center. And I'm trying to steer it on some different rails to just off a cliff to hurt no one except for myself.
Maybe over to Inside Pulse.
And then we go over to Inside Pulse. If you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, I'm sorry. But leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. There was a guy who's been listening to us on Inside Pulse and leaving comments on there. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name right now off the top of my head. But I can't remember anything right now off the top of my head. Clearly. But just know that we greatly appreciate your input. You're making some great points. And continue to listen because you are the wind beneath our wings. And we're also on Facebook. You get some updates on the podcast, what's going on with Joel, what's going on with me. And just keeping up with the podcast in general. Again, just go on Facebook, search Classroom Ring Attire, look for that red, black, and white logo, and that's us. So yeah, until next time,
football.
I almost made it.
Well, I mean, it's a strong term.
I almost said clossy.
Yeah, I heard. We all heard, Chris.
Stay classy and huzzah, you jerks.
Huzzah.